Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and everybody ought to praise the Lord. This is your host, Apostle W.D. Carter, host of Lift High the Cross radio broadcast right here live on Blog Talk Radio. Praise the Lord. Today, we're going to continue in our study of the Harlot Church system. Friday, praise the Lord, when we were on Friday, I mentioned to you that I had written an article called The Hidden Dangers of Taking Oaths. We're going to minister that particular message to you today under the message of the Harlot Church system. I want you to know that taking oaths is a powerful and very effective strategy of witchcraft, and it is used by the enemy to bind people who believe in the true and the living God authentically to him. Praise the Lord, and we're going to talk about it today. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33, and we're going to commence reading the foundational text for this afternoon's broadcast. Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, this is Jesus Christ speaking, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. That's what the oath is all about. When you take an oath, you connect yourself to the enemy, praise God. And a prime example of this is when Herod swore an oath. Look at chapter 14 of the of Matthew. Chapter 14 of Matthew. We're going to talk about Herod Antipas as an example of taking an oath that binds you to the devil and the effects of taking that oath. First verse, chapter 14, Matthew. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch, the governor, heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Herod, Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought on a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. So you see here in this particular example exactly what taking an oath can do to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Witchcraft is designed to circumvent the laws of both God and man. In fact, most of the secret fraternal orders operate under the satanic principle of witchcraft. This is why no self-respecting, God-fearing Christian has any business being involved in secret societies of any kind. Today Christians define witchcraft as the practice of intimidation in order to manipulate, in order to dominate, in order to control. Witchcraft is counterfeit spiritual authority. It is the act of soliciting and or operating in a different spirit in order to intimidate, manipulate, dominate, and control others. Thus, anyone who is attempting to seize authority or control illegally is considered to be practicing witchcraft. Hallelujah. The hidden danger of taking oaths. How many of you have become consciously aware that there is something in the atmosphere that has signaled a cataclysmic change is presently in the process of being fulfilled? Hallelujah. If you have concluded that you did sense something in the atmosphere but couldn't quite figure out what it was, you were correct in your assessment. Something is happening, but your ability to discover what that something is has been thwarted by its ability to stealthily infiltrate your everyday practical experience. I ask you to consider the universal ramifications of Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Hallelujah. I have cited these verses as a declaration by the arch enemy of both God and humanity, outlining his plan to overthrow the universal government of God. I have defined this plan as a supernatural conspiracy that requires the voluntary and or involuntary participation of all humanity, past, present, and future. Finally, I state that Lucifer's declaration is the foundation of the one world government, the New World Order. Let's consider this question. How did humanity become involved in this conspiracy? First, the believer must know and understand that humanity's initial involvement was involuntary. That is to say, that when Adam committed his sin of disobedience to the commandment of God concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he inadvertently included all of humanity in his sin. In other words, Adam represented all of mankind because all of humanity was in his loins when he sinned against God. This means that all of humanity was corrupted by one man's disobedience. Hence this statement, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of humanity has sinned in Adam, and all of humanity are dead in Adam. This death is signally manifested as both a total and absolute separation and alienation from God. In other words, God is mankind's creator, but not mankind's father. Please read John 8:44, verses 1 to 12. A direct consequence of this separation and alienation is humanity becoming both confederate and co-conspirators with Lucifer against God and his kingdom. Humanity is in disposition and disposition at conception. In other words, we are born children of the devil. This is the reason why the miracle of the new birth is so essential to the human experience. Without it, humanity will live out its tenure in the devil's camp, die, and spend eternity in total and absolute separation and alienation from God. When anyone, both male and female, experiences the new birth, one of the most important instructions immediately given to them is, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. The believer must know and understand the reasons for this admonition. First of all, we must now realize that our relationship with God has both miraculously and drastically changed. No longer are we separated and alienated from God. We are a brand new creation in Christ. Our status has changed from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. God is not only our creator, but more importantly, he is our father. By both believing in and receiving the shed blood of Jesus Christ in our lives, we are now in an unconditional covenant relationship with God and are citizens of his kingdom and subjects of its king. It now becomes incumbent upon us to acclimate ourselves to both our king and his kingdom. At this juncture, we are no longer confederate and co-conspirators with the devil against God and his kingdom. This means that we have effectively renounced the hidden things of darkness and are no longer willful practitioners of sin. Hence, as believers in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we cannot allow ourselves to be connected to the devil in any shape, form, or fashion. One of the primary ways that the believer can be held captive by the devil, despite his having capitulated to the born-again experience, is by submitting to a demonic strategy called the oath. Whenever the believer takes an oath, he or she binds himself to the devil. Jesus said, quote, "Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." In effect, what this statement is definitively saying is that when the believer has taken an oath, he or she compromises and contaminates both the authenticity and validity of his or her integrity. Because the oath has originated from Satan, making oaths effectually places the believer in a contractual relationship with the devil. Any believer who swears an oath has in all actuality renounced the lordship of Jesus Christ in his or her life, and is now under the counterfeit spiritual authority of Satan. Hence, the enemy has been able to build a worldwide, universal army of confederates through his very successful employment of an intricate network of secret societies, including secret fraternal orders and college fraternities and sororities. Let us consider, for example, a brief synopsis of the oath of the entered apprentice degree that Freemasonry requires of its candidates. Quote, "All this I most solemnly promise and swear with a firm and steadfast resolution to perform the same, binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my throat cut across, my tongue torn out by its roots, and my body buried in the rough sands of the sea at low water mark, where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours. Should I ever knowingly violate this my entered apprentice obligation, so help me God and keep me steadfast in the due performance of the same," end quote. The senior person, worshipful master, leading the ritual, then replies to the initiate, "In token of your sincerity, you will now detach your hands and kiss the book on which your hands rest, which is the Holy Bible. If you will take the time to examine this oath, you will immediately notice that the entered apprentice candidate has violated some serious biblical protocols. Jesus said, swear not at all. This man, who has alleged himself to be a believer, has sworn by God that his life is forfeit if he violates the oath of the entered apprentice degree. In other words, by willingly taking this oath, this person has expressed a greater loyalty to his position in the Masonic Lodge than to his covenant relationship with God. In essence, whether wittingly or not, he has chosen allegiance to Freemasonry over his God. I have used this very limited example of how Satan is able to trick people into a voluntary participation in his conspiracy against God and his kingdom. Satan has literally built a worldwide universal army through his employment of a satanic device called witchcraft. This strategy is used to both ensnare and to enlist all of humanity in aiding and abetting his plan. Witchcraft is counterfeit spiritual authority. It is the act of soliciting and or operating in a different spirit in order to intimidate, manipulate, dominate, and control others. There are two primary components which characterize the conspiracy. They are secrecy and stealth. Through his uncanny ability to access the various grotesqueries of human nature, the enemy of all that is right and good has secretly and stealthily manipulated humanity into doing his will. One of the main avenues that he has successfully used are secret societies and fraternal orders. He also uses college fraternities and sororities in order to recruit and enlist worldly-minded and ambitious people into his armies. This is why the believer is reminded that we are not to be ignorant of his devices, wiles, and intentions. If any of you listening to this broadcast are convicted by its content, the solution to your dilemma is a wholehearted repentance and renunciation of any and all oaths you have taken, whether in secret or in public. You must renounce all affiliation with any and all secret fraternal orders, including college fraternities and sororities. May the Lord forgive, rescue, and restore you is my perpetual prayer for you. Now listen, people, especially the believer, I need you to hear this. Glory be to God. You have got to understand that you have got to come out of the harlot church system. I want you to understand that very often secret fraternal orders are part of the harlot church system. They are part of mystery Babylon. Glory be to God. And you've got to come out of that. It is through the secret fraternal orders and sororities and societies, glory be to God, that God has enlisted you in his army, praise the Lord, to fulfill his agenda, which is to become like the Most High God. Hallelujah. And so, praise the Lord, you have got to disconnect yourself from that. You've got to renounce that. You've got to repent of that. Many of you, praise the Lord, the vast majority of you who love the Lord and have given your life to the Lord, authentically, who worship God in spirit and in truth, a lot of you don't realize that the enemy has co-opted you into his conspiracy against the very God that you have submitted your life to. And so, praise the Lord, in order for you to be free of that, you must repent. You must face the ugly and horror of how you have deceived yourself and been deceived by the devil and repent of it. Come out from amongst them and be separate from them. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Want to talk to you about some of the indications of witchcraft. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Here are some of the indications of the subtle practices of witchcraft in everyday life. Witchcraft is indicated by lying and deceit. Lying is lying, whether we think of it as a big black lie or a little white lie. No such thing as a big black or little white lie. Lying is lying. Lying is a tool of deception. Praise the Lord. And those of you who are involved in the secret fraternal orders, that's what you are involved in. You are involved in a huge conspiracy to deceive humanity into capitulating to submission to Satan. Glory be to God. We differentiate between black and white lies to justify ourselves or to lessen the consequences. When we lie, we are hiding some truth in order to make something happen or to prevent a consequence from happening. Truth never has to be twisted, manipulated, forced, or in any way tampered with. Once it is tampered with, it is no longer truth. Remember that, believer. Once the truth has been tampered with in any shape, form, or fashion, it is no longer truth. It has become a lie. God does not have to lie, contrive, or he does not have to lie, connive, or contrive to get people to obey him. He simply sets forth his word in plain truth and commands that men obey. Those of you who are in the secret fraternal orders are trained to lie, are trained how to manipulate others into doing what you want them to do, how to get power, and how to dominate others. Praise the Lord. You are operating in counterfeit spiritual authority, and the Lord wants to set you free from that. Witchcraft is indicated by self-strength. We practice witchcraft when we put our trust in ourselves. We try to make things happen in our own strength, especially those things that should be left to the work of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 3:3 affirms that we as believers on the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We are not dependent upon our carnal perceptions or carnal abilities to do anything. Glory be to God. Philippians 1:18-8 confirms it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Hallelujah. Witchcraft is indicated by one's attempt to unduly control his life and the lives of others. Insecure people try to make their world safer by building rigid structures for themselves and for others. In their lives, when we are insecure, we think we need to control God, other people, our environment, and every circumstance of our lives. We attempt to control what we feel, think, say, and do. Let me say this again. When we are insecure, we think we need to control God, other people, our environments, and every circumstance of our lives. We attempt to control what we feel, think, say, and do. Praise the Lord. In other words, we have a very, very extremely low trust factor. We don't trust God. And so, praise the Lord, we trust in our own strength to get done what we want to get done. We trust in our own strength to fulfill our agendas, whatever they may be. But you need to understand that as soon as you, as a true believer, praise the Lord, begins to operate in your flesh, you have separated yourself from God. Why? Because the carnal mind is irreconcilable with the mind of God. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so, praise God, those of us who operate in the carnal mind, those who operate out of our flesh, praise the Lord, we cannot operate in that which pleases God, which is faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so, praise the Lord, when you're operating in your flesh, you're not operating by faith. You're operating in yourself. Hallelujah. And so, because you're operating in yourself, you become your own God. And you capitulate to the satanic statement that the devil made to Eve in the Garden of Eden, you shall be as gods, doing both good and evil. Hallelujah. In other words, you're eating, you're sustaining yourself from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so at this particular time, I want to end this broadcast, praise the Lord, by playing this particular melody for you and asking you that you could capitulate to the lyrics in it. The Lord bless you real good. It's my perpetual prayer for you. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord deliver you from the hand of the enemy, may he set you totally, absolutely, and unequivocally and irreversibly free. In Jesus' name, amen. It's Christ alone.
Thank you.